The question arises, what draws politicians, commentators and the media to this corner of Donegal at this time of year? Of course, it's the Patrick McGill Summer School. But who was Patrick McGill? Well, to tell us about the life and times of this man who was born just out the road from here and who led an extraordinary life, I'm joined by writer and broadcaster Frank Galligan and also by Dr. Joe Mulholland, the founding director of the McGill Summer School. Good morning to you both, or what's left of the morning, about 8 minutes of it.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Frank, Patrick McGill.
I was thinking as I was listening to you speaking with Michael Daly and Martin McHugh earlier on there that the Donegal-Dublin rivalry has just not to do with football, because extraordinarily, exactly 100 years ago, Patrick McGill sold 15,000 copies of Children of the Dead End in 3 weeks. At the same time, James Joyce sold 499 copies of Dubliners, and he bought 120 of them themselves. So hopefully that's a good omen for the semi-final if we get that far. But
that's quite a stretch to find an omen of future success. But good luck with that anyway. So again, like, what was his background? He grew up obviously in a lot of poverty.
In the Glen of Glantys, he was the eldest of 11 children. He was born himself on Christmas Eve in 1889, and by the time he was 11, 12, he was hired out, as they say, in the Laggan in County Tyrone, and of course subsequently ended up as a navvy and working on railway construction in Scotland. And I suppose it's extraordinary to think that you're talking about a man who was only 22 years old when he published that extraordinary book, having published poems at an earlier age. He actually went around the town of Greenock in Scotland, Sean, selling his gleanings from an abbey scrapbook at sixpence a time, and one of the houses that he came to was the famous writer and Scottish journalist Neil Munro. And as a result of that, he ended up working for the Express in London. So we take it from there, effectively.
Joe, he was somebody who challenged a lot of, we'd call them sacred cows, I suppose, in his day.
Yes, and of course, as Frank has said, he sold 15,000 copies of Children of the Dead End, his first semi-autobiographical novel, in 1914. But he sold them in Britain. And of course, it was only in Britain that our people came to know him. It was people like my father, who spent most of his life in the Highlands of Scotland, most of his working life, and many men like him here, that they came to know McGill's work. And McGill's, why? Because it was critical of the system here in the Northwest, which was replicated elsewhere, as Liam O'Flaherty and other writers have shown. McGill criticised three things very heavily. The landlord system, of course, which was very criticable. He criticised ignorance of the people and of his own people, where they had so many children, they couldn't support the children. Those children had to be hired out as soon as they were 10 or 11, sent off to almost foreign territory in the Laggan. He criticised the merchants who held the people in the palm of their hand, because they controlled the selling and they controlled buying. And he criticised the church. And of course, he criticised one man in particular, who in fact is considered a hero in many ways, Canon McFadden. And under the name of Father Devaney, he wrote a very, very harsh picture of this man. So the books were banned here, and people only, as Ben Kiley and others used to say, they only read them underneath the sheets when they got hold of a copy.
Frank, that would suggest that he wasn't the most welcome returnee to these parts when he came around.
Fascinatingly, Sean, I visited Fall River in Massachusetts, where he's buried, and stayed with his family 30 years ago. And his daughter, Patricia, who was often here at the festival, told me that he did return to a funeral hereabouts in 1917, and said thereafter that he would not be coming back again. And as Seamus Dean pointed out in a critique back in 1985, that whatever about taking on the landlords, whatever about being critical of Gombinism, being critical of the church is what nailed him in his home place, and that's why the books weren't sold here.
Joyce had the benefit of an education from the Jesuits and I think university as well, Joe, at UCD. How far did McGill get?
Well, it's really a miracle, I think. This was a young guy who had no more favourable circumstances than all the other kids around here and in Donegal and elsewhere, except one, he was good at writing and particularly at reading. He was reading voraciously from an early age, and he was ambitious. And he was very, very determined to better himself and started through the Carnegie Libraries in Scotland, was able to educate himself, got involved in the socialist movement there, of course, and that gave him a kind of political edge and so on. So without hardly any education, he ended up in the Daily Express in London, as Frank has pointed out. That didn't work out. But then he happened to have been adopted almost by the tutor to King George V, Canon Sir John Dalton. Yes.
In a couple of sentences, Joe Coastley, Miriam Lord was, poking a bit of fun at the McGill Summer School.
Everybody does, saying,
"Look, it's the same crowd coming back with the same old story year in, year out, and yet they keep coming." And I suppose it was one institution that provided a platform for John Hume through when he was ploughing that lonely furrow. So, how long is it going to continue? Do you need to freshen it up, maybe?
Well, just on the same thing and so on. Sir Julian Priestley, who's just talking in there at the moment, has said he's never encountered anything like this. It's unique in the world, he said, unique in Europe. To bring together these kind of people together in this kind of atmosphere in such a small place. And that has been repeated to us by many foreign ambassadors. So it's always the cliches we hear about oxygen for the elderly, as Pat Rabbit called it on one occasion, and so on. Anyway, how long can we keep it going? It's a matter for God, that, I think.
He said, "I'm going back to Glanties where the harvest fields are brown," in one of his most famous poems. And they keep coming back year after year.
And we're going back to Dublin presently. Frank Gallagher and Joe Mulholland, thank you very much for joining us on